contract from staff, and this is a public hearing on order number R1-2015-0020 to consider the matter of a short-term renewal of order number R1-2010-0029, waiver of waste discharge requirements for non-point source discharges related to certain forest land management activities on national forest system lands in the North Coast region. And you proceed, and then I'll call on our executive director and attorney when they're unconferencing. But we did want to answer people in the audience on procedures and options available to us. All right.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I'm Dean Pratt. I'm a senior engineering geologist of your staff, and I'm also the supervisor of your northern non-point source and forestry unit. This morning, I'm presenting item number 3, the public hearing for proposed order number R1-2015-0020. Short-term renewal of order R1-2010-0029, waiver of waste discharge requirements for non-point source discharges related to certain federal land management activities on national forest system lands in the North Coast region. This order's name is quite a mouthful, so I'm going to refer to it by several other names, including existing order or 2010 Forest Service waiver or some iteration of those. I'd like to point to the map here. You might recognize the outline of the North Coast region in black, and on that is the national forest in the region, starting with the Mendocino National Forest in red at the bottom, and just to the north of that is the Shasta Trinity National Forest, and up in the east corner is Modoc National Forest. And you'll notice that the actual forest boundaries straddle our regional board boundary with the Central Valley region. Then along the north border is the Klamath National Forest, and along the west side is our Six Rivers National Forest. And near the top of the map, you'll see a little bit of that gold color. That's a little bit of the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest that's in our region. The existing U.S. Forest Service waiver, order R1-2010-0029, is going to expire soon on June 10th, 2015. And the purpose of this proposed order, order 2015-0020, is to provide short-term renewal of the 2010 federal non-point source waiver by extending it beyond its approaching expiration date. First, I just go over this outline, or more accurately, a list of the topics that I'll be covering today and the order I'll be covering them. I'll provide some additional information on the proposed order for short-term renewal. I'll provide some background and a brief history of the region's federal non-point source waiver and a general overview of our existing 2010 waiver and its associated monitoring reporting program. I'll say a few things about the potential changes that are being contemplated right now, and I'll tell you about our stakeholder engagement activities to date. Then I'll explain kind of the next steps and the time frame for completing a revised draft for public review. And then I'll give you a brief summary of the comments that we received on the proposed order for short-term renewal that is being considered today. Waivers of waste discharge requirements can only be issued for a period not to exceed 5 years, and as I stated, the existing federal non-point source waiver was adopted almost 5 years ago and is set to expire on June 10th, 2015. The purpose of the proposed order for short-term renewal is to extend the existing waiver so that the waiver coverage can continue, coverage and requirements are maintained and enrolled projects, and also the purpose is for new projects can continue to be reviewed for their eligibility, and any eligible projects can continue to be enrolled and have coverage. Adoption of the proposed order for short-term renewal would retain all the existing provisions and requirements of the current waiver until another waiver is adopted. And I also want to note that today's action is not approving any specific projects. The first federal non-point source waiver in Region 1 was adopted in 2004. It only covered activities that were related to timber harvest projects, and there was not an associated monitoring and reporting program. Our current waiver, the 2010 waiver, it expanded the 2004 waiver to include coverage for other non-point source activities, such as roads, grazing, recreation, vegetation manipulation, restoration, and fire suppression. Eligible projects are enrolled under a Category A or Category B. Category A activities are considered our low risk to water quality and include activities such as Christmas tree harvesting, firewood cutting, and hazard tree removal along roadways. No application is required to be submitted for Category A activities or Category A projects. The 2010 waiver has a provision that will allow additional Category A activities to be added to the list with executive officer's approval. Category B includes activities that are considered to have a moderate risk to water quality, and the Regional Water Board staff review and an application for coverage is required for Category B projects. Waiver also contains a list of Category B activities, which includes but is not limited to non-emergency fire restoration and rehabilitation of burned areas, timber harvest and fuels reduction, range management activities, and activities in designated riparian zones that pose a risk of discharge. Among other items and information, applications for Category B activities require identification of and proposed treatment of existing non-point sediment sites and legacy sediment sites if an inventory and prioritization of legacy sites has not been initiated in the project area, or applications require reference to existing legacy site inventory for watersheds that have a restoration plan. A monitoring and reporting program was issued in 2010 and was subsequently revised in 2012 in response to some public comments. The current monitoring program requires monitoring of all projects using a checklist approach based on best management practices and on-the-ground prescriptions identified in the NEPA document, that's the National Environmental Policy Act. It requires that National Forests conduct baseline in-channel monitoring at a specific hydrologic scale, or project-level in-channel monitoring is required. It includes range allotment monitoring for fecal indicator bacteria, and it requires annual reporting. Staff have been working to develop a revised waiver and a monitoring program. I'd like to mention Tom Williams is our staff lead for the waiver and the overall preparation for future board meetings. And Forrest Fortescue is our staff lead for the revisions to the monitoring and reporting program. Staff are contemplating several editorial changes to the waiver. The intent and purpose of any editorial changes would be to improve the readability, improve clarity in terms of conditions, accuracy and organization, and to make the document consistent with the region's writing style guide. Additional editorial changes may include updating our Category A and Category B project lists and moving those lists into an appendix and out of the body of the document. Staff's also contemplating adding findings that would describe the U.S. Forest Service Watershed Condition Framework Program and updating other findings as necessary to make them accurate with respect to the existing federal programs that are covered by the waiver or incorporated as part of the waiver. We anticipate including language in the waiver that's parallel to existing language that addresses how projects that are currently in a planning process would be treated in terms of coverage under either the existing waiver or a revised waiver. Staff's also contemplating several changes to the monitoring and reporting program. One of the main changes would be that's being contemplated is to require that each forest develop forest-wide baseline in-channel monitoring networks. This will allow for better evaluation of the long-term trends in water quality conditions. And this would be done in lieu of a current requirement which allows for project-level in-channel beneficial use monitoring. Other proposed changes to the monitoring program that are being contemplated include additional tracking of sediment treatment work, tracking and reporting, and additional monitoring of our grazing allotments, including the stream bank, riparian vegetation, and bacteria monitoring. Regional Water Board staff and the Forest Service staff meet approximately annually, typically in the fall or early winter, and we met with the Forest Service back in November, and we discussed a variety of things, including the changes that were being contemplated to the waiver of that, at that time, and we got some input from them at that time. On March 25th, Matt St. John, myself, and Tom Williams went and, myself and Tom Williams and Forrest met with staff at the Six Rivers National Forest, and several of their staff, and we discussed, again, the, some of the changes that were being contemplated and how those might affect the Six Rivers. On March 27th, we had our government-to-government meeting up in Orleans that was described a little earlier today. And we discussed a variety of things at the meeting, but one of the agenda items was the changes that were being contemplated to the waiver. April 23rd, we had another meeting with the Forest Service. Most of the forests were represented there, and it was this for the sole purpose of discussing the changes to the waiver that we're working on. And we have another meeting scheduled now with the Forest Service in early June to pick up from that waiver and spend some more time on the monitoring reporting program revisions. We also may have additional meetings, additional government-to-government meetings with interested tribes during the revision process, and potential to have additional stakeholder meetings after our release of a public draft. The next big step for us is to complete a revised draft of the waiver for public review. We expect to complete a public draft and begin a 30-day public comment period in the beginning of August, or early part of August, and then have a board workshop at the August board meeting, and then also have the public comment period continue on after that workshop. And then at the conclusion of our 30-day public comment period, staff will consider all the comments and respond to comments, and we're hoping to prepare a proposed waiver for your consideration to present at our October board meeting. The proposed order, R1-2015-0020, has been noticed for a 30-day public review and comment period that ended on Monday, May 4th. We received three comment letters. The comments support the adoption of the proposed order. Staff's response to comments and the three letters were provided to the board members. Staff recommends adoption of the proposed order for short-term renewal of order R1-2010-0029 as proposed. And before I get ask or answer any questions, I'd like to point out for interested parties, we have an email distribution list, and I'd encourage you, if you're interested in the waiver revision process, to go onto the website, and on the left-hand side of our homepage, there's a link for email subscriptions, and near the bottom of the list of items, you can check a box next to waiver of WDR for timber harvesting on federal lands, and any future public notices or draft documents will be distributed to those email addresses. And that concludes my presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Thank you. Any board member questions or comments? Okay, I'd like to call on the executive director or legal counsel, depending who wants to answer first on laying out what are the procedural options for the board in adopting the waiver? How does it affect other projects and enrollment? And any restriction on board member comments?
So with regard to what's before you today, it is your action would be a short-term extension of the existing waiver. That action does not affect any project that is currently before us or may be becoming before us in the future related to consideration of waiver coverage. So for instance, the Westside Salvage Plan, today's action does not prejudge anything about a future action related to that specific project. And that particular specific project, there are several options before us, one of which is bringing an individual permit for that project if the Forest Service were to propose that project. Another option is to bring the waiver enrollment consideration before you, the board.
And then my understanding is legal counsel had some concerns on how deep we could go into Westside.
Yeah, I mean, that came up at public comment, but because there's a possibility of it coming back in front of the board, I would counsel you to not get into in-depth discussion about that particular project. And we were sort of limiting this topic to sort of a procedural vote to extend, but because our staff presentation went into sort of some of the substance about what we're thinking for the new waiver, I think some discussion on that, some general discussion is okay.
Okay. With that, I'd like to open it up for public comment, and then I do think when we take it up, I will ask the executive director probably whether he has any procedural recommendations at this time, if you have sufficient information. So with that, I'll call on Tom Grover, waiver of waste discharge.
Oh yeah.
Hi, Tom Grover, Redway, California. I have been measuring and working with creek monitoring in an attempt to offset the impacts of human beings for 37 years now, with really little or no help from any government agency whatsoever. So I'm very glad to see that you guys are trying to bite the bullet here and get something going. This waiver of waste discharge that you proposed basically puts a huge burden on people to come up with answers within 30 days of your inspection. This is pretty outrageous. People have been working on road issues and sediment issues and water storage issues for a long, long time. It basically sets up a whole other series of laws that people have to meet. One example, as they said, any water tank over 8,000 gallons needs a cement foundation. Well, a lot of people have put in rainwater tanks in the 20 and 40,000 gallon range, and they don't require a foundation by law. So you're really preempting the California Uniform Building Code. Now, I worked on the gray water issue for a long time, which was not really all that exciting.
I hate to interrupt you, but are you sure you're not speaking on the marijuana permit?
I thought that was the wastewater discharge permit.
Okay, we're working on the waiver of U.S. Forest Service right now.
I'm sorry.
So you'll get a second chance.
I did not get my form right, so I was
You'll be very smooth and polished, I'm sure, in the next presentation.
Okay.
Felice Pace.
Hi. Felice Pace, representing the North Group Redwood Chapter of the Sierra Club. I had hoped to get here early enough to get some slides up for you to show you some of the, which I have showed you before, some of the impacts we're having to water quality in grazing out there. But also I had a slide showing some of the winter logging they've done this past year on the Salmon River, side casting material, deep ruts. Whenever you're logging in the winter time around here, you have challenges when the weather changes, and we can't respond that quickly. The point was that the current waiver is not adequately protecting water quality. There's a lot of good aspects to it, you know, shade and so forth and so on, monitoring requirements, but we're seeing impacts like we saw last year on the Salmon River, where logging in the mud gets through the gate somehow, and in side casting material into a stream course gets past the gate somehow. So we really need to work on this new waiver. I support the short-term extension to some extent because we need the time to work on and get a waiver that's going to be adequate to get the job done. On the other hand, I think this is the second time we've had a short-term extension of the National Forest Waiver, and we should get to the point where, you know, we're planning enough ahead of time so that we don't have to have these short-term extensions. I hope we don't see it again. In this case, we do, I wrote the staff a 10-page letter about some of the issues that we should address in the new waiver. So I'm looking forward to working with the staff on that. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to, does staff have any comments?
I'd just like to clarify, this is actually just the first time that we're asking for an extension related to the Forest Service waiver.
I'd like to bring it back to the board for discussion before we make a motion.
Mr. Chair, Mayor. Thank you, Dean, for your presentation. You know, as I was reviewing the staff report that was provided to us, I couldn't help but think, when we're talking about 6.8 million acres, I just wondered, you know, how many miles of road are across those 6.8 million acres? How many stream crossings? And how many culverts? The enormity of what we're trying to address here is overwhelming. And the fact that we've provided a waiver for 6.8 million acres surprises me. I'm sure that all of the timber companies who represent a fraction of that amount of acreage would like a waiver as well. But if you look from the Mendocino to the Modoc, you know, the soil types, the forest types, are so different. Uses on each of those forests are so different. And I appreciate the political and regulatory expediency in trying to have a blanket to cover the Forest Service, but each forest is its own autonomous unit with its own budget structure, with its own staff, with its own way to approach things. To be blunt, I'm not comfortable with this waiver covering so many acres. Other missing topics that are obvious to me, there was never any mention of off-highway vehicle use. And I can tell you in places like the Mendocino, that is a significant impact on soils and a potentially significant impact on water quality. I appreciate the attention to grazing impacts on riparian zones. I'm not comfortable with so much reliance on reaction to addressing a problem that's been identified. And I saw no mention of grazing impacts on mountain meadows. And in places like the Klamath National Forest, mountain meadows are an important part of that ecological system. I'm also concerned that in the staff report, the Forest Service references documents for cumulative impacts that were written in 1988, and then also identifies the Northwest Forest Plan as a guiding document. Well, I was on that committee to help develop that forest plan, and I know that's 20 years old as well. And I can tell you that the state of California is still not using documents that were written in 1988 when it comes to addressing cumies. So I'm not going to support the adoption of this waiver, though I know I'll probably be a lone voice, But I think this board has to make a statement that business as usual is not acceptable, and that we need to challenge ourselves and challenge the Forest Service to work more interactively with key stakeholders, be more transparent in their decision making. And even though I may be a sole voice on this, I think it's important for this board to say that accepting the status quo is simply not acceptable. That's my soapbox, and I'm sticking to it.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
To be clear, though, this is a renewal of the waiver that's existing to give time to have due public process and agency process to renew the waiver with the Forest Service. So that's what that is.
I fully understand.
I fully appreciate your comments, Board Member Giusti. I agree that we need to look at the 2010 waiver and take it piece by piece, look for improvement as is appropriate. But as I understand it today, what we're doing today is simply rolling forward the waiver for a short-term intentional time so that then we can engage in a public process to get to the things I think that you are concerned about.
Absolutely. My reason for taking a stance on this is I want to make it clear that we can make it difficult for this agency if they do not cooperate with our agency. We have a leadership role for the state of California, and I think all of us take that very seriously, and I want them to take it seriously as well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I look forward to working with you on the renewal.
Right. I just had some comments. First of all, we went off, the state board was going to grant a general permit for the entire state of California, so it is good to regionalize, although I think in the long run more refinements are going to be needed. Within the waiver itself, I do think we got to strengthen some of the burden of proof provisions. We used to have language that the board wrote in pretty standard additional regulations as warranted. And we also reiterated throughout our permits, even though it's stated in the legislation, it's a privilege, not a right. And so I do think there are some elements in the waiver, and we also need to have better procedures for things that are outside the waiver. There is adequate language in this for the executive director to request additional raises. And I believe I can speak to procedures as opposed to substance, but procedurally, first of all, I want to say substantively, in approving this, I'm not approving the West Side Salvage Fire. And I also want to say procedurally, I would give a strong recommendation to the executive officer to put that on as a board scheduled item, whether you handle it as additional requirements of the waiver or you push it into WDRs. Lastly, I want to say, and it's a very hard concept for people to wrap their head around, our waivers, which are tied to BMPs and other conditions, are as good as a waste discharge requirement. In other words, they're a regulatory waiver. You don't just get to go do anything you want. No, you have to do it as laid out in procedures. And we have trouble making that clear, but this board has been the leader in that. One advantage is you can change them a little quicker. There's automatic renewals in them, and actually, in many cases, I think waivers are stricter than waste discharge requirements. And so I do want to keep that in mind. Don't get fooled by the title. But I do think I want some changes, too. Given the timelines, I would hope individual board members could just contact the executive director with recommendations, so that as much as possible, we don't end up in a situation of a staff-issued report that's been highly negotiated with the Forest Service, and then it's always hard to take back that which has been negotiated. And so I think you could benefit from our views. So I think that's pretty clear where we are procedurally. And then I'd like to ask the executive officer, where are you on the procedures for additional review of things like the West Side salvage? Without getting into the substance, I realize you can't do that.
So this is Matt St. John. So we're already on record, public record. We submitted a comment letter to the Klamath National Forest stating that comments on the draft environmental impact statement, saying that we, as proposed in the draft EIS, while we weren't making a final determination regarding waiver coverage, because that's not what was being asked of us during the review of the draft EIS, that we would not, if it were coming to us for a decision, coming to me, that we would not be enrolling the plan under the waiver. As far as moving forward, as I said earlier, the options are the forest submits a proposal of a project for consideration. We either consider that project for enrollment under the waiver as an action by me, or we put that on an agenda and bring it to the board for consideration, or we don't consider it under the waiver but ask for an individual report of waste discharge from the forest and bring it as a waste discharge requirement permit. At this moment, I'm not prepared to make a recommendation as far as waiver or individual WDR. The ball is clearly in the Klamath National Forest's hands to refine their project, which is what they're doing, going through the environmental impact statement process. I think given what I know now, I am going to recommend that we do bring it to the board for consideration.
Thank you. That's what I was hunting for. With that, I'm going to bring it back to the board on the item before us, on which is an extension.
Mr. Chair, I'll give you a motion to adopt a short-term extension for the U.S. National Forest Waiver 2015-0020.
I'll second.
Okay. Any further board discussion? Okay, please call the roll.
Board Member Minton?
Aye.
Board Member Hale?
Aye.
Board Member Norris?
Aye.
Chairman Corbett?
Aye.
Board Member Massey?
Aye.
Board Member Juicy?
No.
Okay. The next item is information item number four. Line up, do board members want a break?
Yes.
Okay. Overwhelmed. Agenda item four.